بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: من القرآن سورة 30 آية شفعت لرجل حتى غفر له، وهي تبارك الذي بيده الملك. رواه أبو داود والترمذي، وقال حديث حسن. وفي رواية أبي داود تشفع. This chapter which we are dealing with certain special virtues that have been accorded or afforded to certain surahs of the Quran and certain verses of the Quran. And the special significance or effect of these verses or surahs in certain situations. We just passed where we dealt with in great detail of how effective قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ is in gaining protection, particularly what we refer to as مُعُوِذَتَيْن قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, and that we should get into the habit of making this part of our daily ma'mool, trying and being as regular as possible with reciting these surahs, blowing them on our children, etc. In this particular hadith, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to one surah of the Qur'an in a very, very interesting manner. And in it, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a special virtue of this surah. One is that a person who recites it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, this surah will intercede on behalf of that person until he gains maghfirat and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find that the same surah in other ahadith and in certain incidents which occurred in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find this message coming across that the surah is very, very effective in protecting in what we call adab of the qabr, punishment in the grave. The grave, we learn from hadith, is not just a hole in the ground. It is either Rawdatun min riyadil jannah, it is either a garden from the gardens of Jannah, or alternatively, a'adhan Allahu minha, may Allah Ta'ala protect us, it is hufratun min hufarin nar, it is a pit from the pits of Jahannam. Azab of qabr is something that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greatly warned us about, to such an extent that we find in riwayat it is mentioned, مَا رَأَيْتُ مَنْذَرًا قَطُّ أَفْضَعْ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. Surah Al-Asim said, I have never seen anything more frightening, more fearsome. I have never seen a manzar and a scene more fearsome, which instills greater fear, أَفْضَعْ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ, than the scene of the azab of the qabr. Sahaba, we find that in their lives, when they would hear such warnings from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the heart would take effect. Particularly, we learn of Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that someone once observed that I don't see you crying as much as I see you crying when you sit at the side of the grave. Even the zikr of Jannat and Jahannam doesn't make you cry as much as this. So he said that, إِنَّ الْقَبْرَ أَوَّلُ مَنْزِلٍ مِّن مَنَازِلِ الْآخِرَةِ. He said, this is the first stage. This is the first stage of the stages of Akhirah. The one who is successful in this stage, in every stage hereafter, it will get easier for him. And the one who fails in this stage, then every stage after this will get worse and worse and worse. We find that Aisha radiallahu anha even asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, is there punishment in the grave? And he told her that the azab of the qabr, this is haqq, this is a reality. Beautifully, we learn this one surah in the Quran, it's mentioned that once there was a Sahabi in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma is the narrator, that he camped one night whilst traveling. Inadvertently, he didn't realize it was a grave that he had pitched his tent upon. So he was sleeping in essence on a grave without realizing what he had done. And the Sahabi mentions that that night he could hear from inside the grave the tilawat of the surah, which constitutes of 30 ayats. Surah Mulk. Tabaraka alladhi biyadihil mulk wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And the next day when he narrated this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Ya Rasulullah, I didn't realize it was a grave, I pitched my tent, and then I could hear the tilawat of the surah coming from the qabr. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hiya al-mani'a hiya al-munjiya tunjihi min adab an-nar. He said the surah is mani'a, it's a defense system, it will become an obstacle. In the riwayat of Hakim, it is mentioned more clearly what is meant by obstacle, that there will be a person in the grave. Rasulullah said there will be a person in the grave, the angels of azab, the angels of punishment will approach this person. First they will approach from the feet, and there will be a protection in the grave with this person. What will it be? The same surah, Surah Mulk. And it will say to the angels of azab that you cannot approach from this side. Why? Because he is to read Surah Mulk. Then the angels of azab, they will make a second approach from the side of the chest of this person. Again, mani'a, there will be a guard, a defense, Surah Mulk. You cannot approach from this side also. Why? He is to recite Surah Mulk. Then the third approach will be made from the head of this person. And again, he will have his guard, he will have his defense, that will be saying to them that you cannot approach from this side also. Why? Because he used to recite Surah Mulk. The word munjiya comes from najat, salvation. Rasulullah said, the surah is munjiya, it's a key to salvation. Salvation from what? Tunjihi min adab al-qabr. It will save him from the azab of qabr. And in this hadith, we also learn not only save him from azab of qabr, but it will save him from azab of akhirat also. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he could have said, read Surah Mulk, but look at the evocative manner, beautiful manner in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presents this. He says, O my ummat, in the Qur'an. O my ummat, in the Qur'an there is one surah which constitutes of 30 ayats. Now what is the object of what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying? To exhort us to be regular in the recitation of this Qur'an, of the surah. He doesn't say that. Read Surah Mulk, no. He appeals to your intellect, appeals to your curiosity. In other words, evocative speech. This is part of the hikmah of the methodology of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to instill something in the hearts. In the Quran, there is one surah. In the surah, there are 30 ayats. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on. Now, once your curiosity is piqued, straight away, someone who has affinity and link and association with the Qur'an will start wondering, which surah? What has 30 ayats? Then Rasulullah ﷺ goes on, shafa'at. Shafa'at in this riwayat, in other words, past tense. Lot of times we find in Qur'an and in hadith terminology, something is going to happen in the future, yet past tense is used. This is part of what we call balagha, of eloquent speech, one of the principles. That when you are informing somebody about something that's going to happen in the future, but you present it in such a manner as if it already happened, past tense, then ulama mentioned this is how this message is given across, that don't doubt this. This is definitely going to happen. Definitely going to happen. This is why I am relating it to you as if it already happened. So Shafa'at, Shafa'at is past tense. This surah already interceded. We find in another riwayat of Abu Dawud Sharif, Tashfa. The surah will intercede. From this hadith and from other hadith we learn that this intercession won't just take place overtly. The Quran will be given some sort of shape and form. The surah will adopt a shape and a form. We find other riwayat about Surah Baqarah, Surah Al-Imran also. Here also, it will be given a shape and a form. It will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the Quran there is a surah, it constitutes of 30 verses. It will intercede on behalf of its adherent, of a person. How? What kind of intercession? How much intercession? How effective intercession? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hatta ghufira lahu, until this person is forgiven by Allah. In other words, will not leave him until he enters into Jannah. What surah it is? Then Rasulullah tells us, وَهِيَ تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. It is Surah Mulk. In other words, the starting of the 29th juz of the Quran is the surah that is very, very effective. From these ahadith, one we learn, it is a form of intercession. It is a form of protection. Particularly, protection from azab of the qabr, and it will fight for its adherent until this person is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the Jabir radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not fall asleep at night. Listen to this very, very carefully. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala narrates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not fall asleep at night until he had recited Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda and Surah Mulk. Every day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would particularly ensure. So we also, we find, mashallah, many of our brothers in Jamaat, particularly in the path of Allah Ta'ala, we tend to be regular after Maghrib. If we are not looking in the Quran, if you know it by heart, even better, in your Awabin Salah, in your Nawafil Salah at night, ensure that on a daily basis, before we sleep, Alif Lam Mim Sajda and Surah Mulk. How much must we ensure it? This is a proof of our muhabbat, our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he, and an indication of his extreme shafaqah and compassion for the ummah, that he wanted to give us something by which we will be protected and we will gain the maghfirat and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why, like I said, why is it a proof? We find the riwayat where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desire the surah to be in the heart of every person of my ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I desire that Surah Mulk should be by hearted, should be learned, should be in the heart of every person of my ummah. And very important, one thing we should bear in mind, my respected brothers, when we come across these surahs, particularly wherein we are exhorted that they must be part of our daily ma'mool, one is the benefit. The sawab is in its place, the benefits being saved from the azab of qabr, maghfirat, intercession, etc. But we find generally the meaning of these surahs are such that they are very, very comprehensive and they contain reminders that we should be daily revisiting. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. We look at just the first two verses. Blessed is that being in whose hands lies all kingdom. He has power over everything. He has created life and death in order to test you. In order to test you. So in the opening verses of this surah already we are reminded of the temporary nature of the life of this world. And that the love and the passion and the ambition of dunya should not be our objective. But that Allah Ta'ala is testing us and we should be preparing for akhirah. So we find very, very comprehensive meanings and important lessons in these surahs. So one is just to read them, but over and above them, read them, understand their tafsir, delve into their commentary and read them where the heart also is associated with its recitation. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanAllah.